Hi, I'm Lucy Woodard, and I'm going to read Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Good job, Lucy. She was worried about the word betrothed, and you nailed it. Good job. My name is Gordon Fleming. Thanks. I'm one of the pastors here. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to consider God's word together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come here and to be reminded what's true, to be reminded that we as a weary world can rejoice, and we can rejoice because the King of Kings has come. I'm so thankful that when Gabriel announced your birth, that he said that you will be called Jesus because you will save your people from their sins. You didn't come here just to be a sacrifice or to show us how to live a moral life or to whatever, but you came to save your people from their sins. You've done all the work, and for that we are so thankful. Lord, thank you for the good news of the gospel. Thank you that we don't have to try to save ourselves. In your name I pray, amen. You know, this time of year, I feel like a lot of the mail that we get at home or that we get even at the office are typically kind of year-end letters that come from different ministries we support, just kind of letting us know what happened with the year and what it looked like, an interesting year to say the least. One that we got at the Hope office was by a ministry called the Smith Family Wellness Center at Project 658. And I don't know if you're familiar with this ministry, but it's a group of professionals who primarily work with immigrants and refugee communities along Central Avenue, providing free primary care and mental health counseling. Since the Smith Family Foundation covers the building and Novant funds the majority of their medical staff and the CARES Act actually pays for their counseling, the way we help and what we support there and what you support through your tithes is patient care. And it really is an amazing return on our investment and on your investment. This year alone, thanks in part to your generosity, listen to this, they provided 2,500 medical appointments. They provided 2,600 counseling appointments. They were able to give out over $10,000 of gift cards, 275 goodie bags, and over-the-counter medicine for over 400 families, all free of charge, which is just amazing. Earlier this week, Jonathan Wilson, who is their head clinician, I think I'm saying that correctly, he's kind of the head doctor there, he sent out that end-of-year newsletter. And it was interesting in his newsletter because he primarily focused on the life of Joseph, which really struck me as I read it. Earlier this week, my kids and I watched a movie called The Nativity Story, which came out in 2006, and as you can guess, it focuses on the birth of Christ. And I really did think the movie did a good job of depicting the details that we often miss around the birth of Christ. They did a great job highlighting the oppression that God's people were feeling at the time, the taxation that they were being crushed under from Rome, the scandal around Mary's pregnancy, and how difficult the 100-mile journey would have been for Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem. At that point in the movie, when they were going through the journey, at one point, Joseph was just kind of the character that played Joseph, was passed out over on the side. He was messy and bloody, and one of my kids looked at me and said, wow, he really went through a lot for Jesus. And, you know, and it really got me thinking that Joseph tends to be kind of the forgotten character of the nativity story. I mean, think about it practically. What's one song about Joseph? I cannot think of one song about Joseph. And even the Advent candles, okay? For the last 4 weeks, we've lit these 5 Advent candles, and there's not a Joseph candle. I mean, there's a shepherd candle, but there's not even one about Joseph. But when we leave Joseph out of the nativity story, and when we don't consider his story, then we're missing out on a real gift that God has given us, especially this year, especially in 2020. And so for a few minutes, I really want to briefly contemplate and reflect on what Joseph's life would have been like. Can you imagine the roller coaster that he would have experienced right before the birth of Jesus? He gets engaged to Mary. He finds out she's pregnant. Mary comes to him and says, hey, you don't have to worry. It's from the Holy Spirit. So rightly, Joseph would have thought, well, you know, not only is Mary scandalous, but she's also crazy. But we're told that because Joseph was a good man, and he was unwilling to put Mary to shame, that he would quietly end their engagement. And then he's visited by an angel of the Lord in a dream and asked to join in on God's divine rescue mission to save humanity, which sounds super sweet. All right, as an Enneagram 3, that's my kind of rescue mission right there. I could completely get on board with that as an achiever. That's right up my alley. But what about the part when the rescue mission, when the divine mission from God is a notice that you're legally required to travel to the hometown of your 25th great-grandfather during your fiancé's 9th month of pregnancy to participate in a census that's only going to lead to more taxation by Rome? Or thinking about walking those 100 miles on those dusty roads, wearing sandals, pulling a donkey that Mary's sitting on, breathing through her contractions. And then finally getting to Bethlehem, frantically searching for a place to have the baby, only to be told from the innkeepers, you should have planned ahead. You should have booked in advance. And then helping the exhausted mother of Jesus off the donkey, only to walk into a cold, unwelcoming, dilapidated barn to deliver the baby. How is this welcome fit for a king? Joseph must have felt like the biggest failure in the world. And then just a few short months later, they had to flee for their lives into Egypt and live as refugees to avoid the nation's infant genocide. Surely Joseph must have thought, man, I got this all wrong. I missed out on the message here. This is not what I signed up for. You know, that's something I think all the time. I tend to think that when things are going well for me, then God's at work. I always think he's moving when he's working for my good or my glory or for somebody that I love. Rarely I think or really want to think that God's plan may include something really messy or really costly or really painful or something uncomfortable. But clearly that was God's plan for Joseph in the Christmas story. One of uncomfort, one of pain, and one that is very costly. And then Joseph almost immediately begins to fade away from the story just 8 days later when we're told in Luke 2. And he, being Simeon, came in the spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what he said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, also for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Joseph must have thought, well, what about me? Why are you just talking to her? Isn't something going to pierce my soul as well? But the reality of it is, Joseph would never live to see Jesus causing the falling and rising of many in Israel. He wouldn't see his son heal the sick or dignify the downtrodden. Joseph would never see his baby boy, the promised Messiah, be an object of opposition that would reveal thoughts from many hearts. He would never see the suffering that Jesus would have to endure to bring about salvation. And he would never see his son carry his cross to Golgotha, die a traitor's death, and then be gloriously resurrected as a king. Joseph was going to die before he could see any of the divine returns on his sacrificial investment in the life of Jesus. Dr. Jonathan Wilson concluded his newsletter writing this. My conclusion is that God may be calling us into messy situations that don't have clear Disney endings, at least this side of heaven. He may be calling us to trust him even when things don't make sense or aren't working out in the way we'd hoped or would have scripted. Not only does he call us into it, but he groans with us with groans too deep for words. As the Apostle Paul told us, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we await eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope in what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." You know, Joseph would have learned immediately after he died that God was using his adopted son, Jesus, to make it possible for God to adopt Joseph as his son. And the same is true for us. God is at work in our mess, using our pain so that he can comfort us, using our distress so that he can reshape us, and using our unmet longings to draw us forward into the eternal future he's preparing for us through our older brother, Jesus Christ. So during this Christmas season, in a less than ideal year, let's have hope as we look at Joseph. Let's find encouragement in his story. God is still in the mess, and he is weaving his rescue plan through us and even through our messes, even if we don't get to see the final result like Joseph until we pass into glory. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you that in the fullness of time, you sent your son to be born to a woman, to be born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. And so we are no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. In your name I pray. Amen.